This morning, I'd like to offer a couple of ideas as you go into the Advent season. And I trust that they will have some kind of traction for you and maybe give you a little bit different angle to look for the holidays, to look into the holidays. There's some things about the holidays we want to be the same, right? And some things we would like to really be fresher, you know. So we'll talk about that. I'm going to begin with four scriptures, and they'll be on the screen. And I just invite you to either listen to them and close your eyes and hear them, or look along if you want to. First is Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Ezekiel 36, 26. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the fourth and final, Revelation 21, 5. And he saw who was seated on the throne and said, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. What is the common thread in these four passages from both the prophets in the Old Testament as well as words in the New Testament? Anyone? Renewal? The word new shows up in each of them, right? Anything else that seems in common with these four verses? It's okay. It's okay. But there's creation, recreation, all kind of things going on. And here's they're verses which are like most verses, but perhaps in a special way, they're really rich. They're loaded. In a sense, they're pregnant with meaning and what is to come. So I'm going to start here with two questions. I'm going to actually ask you. You feel free to answer. I'll keep it short, though. What is something you would love to experience afresh? Like when it was new to you. Does that make sense? New for the first time. Like a taste or a feeling or a place or an experience or a particular day. Anything you'd like to experience like for the first time again? Yes. Christmas, for the your first Christmas? Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, that's fun. Anyone else? Something you'd like to experience, like
the first day of my firstborn.
The first day of your firstborn. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyone else?
I'm going to be cheesy and say falling in love.
Aw. Yeah, the good parts of falling in love. Yeah. That's not cheesy. Anyone else?
The excitement.
The anticipation. Like, oh, like you can hardly wait. Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay. All right, so now what's something you would love to experience again and again, not new? Like the experience is kind of a touchstone, familiar and comforting, like an old friend. Something you want to be just like it's always been. Anything like that?
Springtime.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Being in the woods, hiking on a trail. Yep. Anyone else? Well, y'all are just holding back today, I can tell. It's all right. That's all right. The scriptures are full of references both to new things coming into being as well as old familiar things becoming renewed. Still themselves, but like new. That's throughout. There's like with the word new and renew and the words that indicate something like being fresh or renovated, that occurs about 200 times in the scriptures. So I think it's a pretty important theme that the Lord has for us. So this morning, I'd like to offer what might be a new way for you to think about the incarnation, the thing that we celebrate at Advent, a way that might help us draw closer to the Lord in this season, this time that Christian believers focus on the event of God having become human to live among us, and coming again, we anticipate, so that not only has he come among us, but that we get to be with him. It's a term and an image. This particular image is one that I brought up several times over the last year, 18 months. So it comes from Psalm 78. I've just got the verses all wacky today. Sorry about that. So it's in Psalm 78. And just listen. It's not going to be on the screen. This is in 78, verse 19, second part of it. When the wandering people of God ask, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Now spend a moment picturing your idea, your image of what a table in the wilderness would be like. Perhaps both the wilderness and the table. What is a table in the wilderness like?
Picture that scene in Hook where the lost boys sit down at the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter, you're doing it. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, Father Christmas showing up in Narnia. Yeah. When else? Right. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, who's mentioning the wilderness of the soul, which occurs in similar but completely different ways than what we think of as a physical wilderness. Yeah. Well, what does it mean to be in the wilderness? That kind of goes there. What does it mean to be in the wilderness? To be somewhere where you don't feel at home. Y'all are working on that. I know the kings are, so that you will feel at home. But what does it mean to be somewhere that you do not feel at home? Like you're an alien. Like you're not especially welcome. Or maybe you're lost. What does it mean to be in the wilderness? Now, many of us, Kathy, have positive associations, myself as well, of being out in the wilderness. Certainly of being out in the woods and the forests as we think of the ones that we like to spend time in. In good weather, it is so refreshing to be in the middle of the woods. Anybody amen that? Yeah. Yeah, it really is. In fact, there's recent research that says that it's literally healing to both mind and body. Isn't that something? But while we may be at peace in the woods, in the wilderness for a few hours, or if you're supplied well, maybe even a few days, we know it's not our home. We know it's not our home. We are only visitors. Perhaps especially in our era, we are aliens to the home of the salamander and the fox and the wood thrush and the bear. Yeah. If we picture being lost in the woods, have you ever experienced that? Yeah, it's a heavy-duty feeling. If we picture being lost, wandering without our usual supports and comforts, things that guide us, starting to get desperate, maybe hungry, a little bit scared, certainly tired, and cold, it's really easy to imagine the relief and the joy of coming upon a table in the wilderness. That's a marvelous feeling, or an idea that you can just picture it. So unless it's a grim fairy tale, this is a good thing, okay? It's a good thing to come on a table in the wilderness. Some of us have experienced that. It's like trail magic, if you know that term. It's coming on a table in the wilderness would be like a sign from home, right? It'd be the feelings of safety and being welcomed, even in the midst of what just a few minutes ago was a scary place, a dark place. A sign and a solid promise that, hey, everything's going to be all right. Now, I'm going to offer three images of tables in the wilderness, and I invite you to follow along. They're not long, so you're good. And I want you to take them into Advent with you. This idea of three different tables in the wilderness, and they're not so much physical as they are. Well, they certainly are physical. All of them are physical. Sorry, I should have not spoken that way. That hopefully they'll take you into Advent. The first is Jesus as a table in the wilderness. The second is the church as a table in the wilderness. And the third is you. Yes, you yourself being a table in the wilderness. So the first table, Jesus. Hear these words from the book of Acts. Perhaps with your eyes closed again, however you can take it in best. In Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, meaning Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That is to say, that besides Jesus, there is no other doorway, no other path, no other true table of life in this world of wilderness. Or as Jesus put it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you, here on the threshold of Advent, feel like you're lost, that you're wandering in the wilderness of your life. That's what it feels like. Living in despair, feeling hopeless, feeling like a stranger to God, maybe a stranger to others. The God who loves you despite any and everything you've done. He loves you and invites you home. Today, for anyone and everyone here, Jesus offers himself today as a table in the wilderness. He offers you that same thing each and every day, not only on church days or in churches, but he is your table in the wilderness for those times when you feel that way. Again, imagine being lost in the woods. And then suddenly you come upon friends, food, shelter, laughter. That's Jesus. That's him. He is our table in the wilderness. The second table is the church. So in what ways is the church a table in the wilderness? Anybody want to throw out something? Provision. In what way, Ben? To meet the needs of the least of these, right? Thank you. Well, at its best, the church speaks truth in a culture of widespread deception, and that's a provision as well, because we need truth. The church points to Jesus in a world that is madly pointing to things which are idols, false gods. The church provides hope and soul nourishment in a culture that is starving for meaning. It is the place where every person is emptied of pride and status. The rich and the poor, the noble and the lonely, all gathered at the feet of Jesus and at the foot of the cross. We, that's all of us and our church neighbors locally and around the world, we are caretakers, the caretakers of and announcers of the good news, the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth, that we are even, and this one always gets me, the light of the world. It's important for the church, for all of us together, to understand our mission. And a really great help with that mission is the motif of being a table in the wilderness. Not the promised land itself, right? We're not the promised land, but like the closest thing that you can experience here on earth. It's like an embassy of heaven located in hostile territory. The church is like an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. It truly is. Calling all exiles and aliens home to their maker. For all its stuff, the church is the closest thing to true home that anyone can experience in this life. It is God's provision. It is a table in the wilderness. Now the third table. Get your thinking caps on. You, as a follower and disciple of Jesus, are called to be a table in the wilderness. I invite you to seriously dwell on this image this week, perhaps especially during the season of Advent. That is an image of you and your presence wherever you go, in your home, being a table in the wilderness, a bright and cheery tavern in the dark. Imagine yourself, your home, as a roadside inn offering warm welcome to everyone, and especially those who have become weary and maybe even beaten up on their journey. Are you up for that? What if you think of Advent as a time of reaching out and caring for others and offering hospitality, not only to the familiar, those that you love to hopefully have around or go be with during the Advent, during Christmas season, but also the stranger, the person that you don't know, the person that the Holy Spirit sort of pricks your mind and your conscience to go, that person needs something. Go over there and I'll help you. I'll help you with this. Are you up for that? What would it require for you to leave today with that image sort of burned into your heart that God is calling me to be a table in the wilderness? What would that feel like? What could it feel like? Would it be good? Would it have an urgency? Would it be a little bit of that, I can't wait to go do this, to experience this thing? What would be hard about it? How would it stretch you? Maybe especially as you feel right now. How would being a table in the wilderness stretch you? What would be satisfying about it? Who could it make a difference for? Well, it will require you to slow down, to live at God's speed, perhaps rather than America's speed. It will require that you inhabit time differently, as we've been talking about for several weeks. It would require you to spend time at the other two tables, right? In fact, you're not going to be much of a table in the wilderness without having spent time at the table of Jesus and along with the people of the church. But honestly, wouldn't that be a good thing? Really? Wouldn't that be a good thing? This is offered to us today. Let's pray. Holy God, you offer us so many rescue images because that's what you are. You are the great loving rescuer of those made in your image and really of all the world, all creation as we understand it. Lord, let us draw near to you in whatever way that means for each of us, to draw near, to seek you, spend time at the feet of Jesus. Help us to actually be especially conscious of wanting to be together with the people of God for that encouragement, for what is hopefully joy and refreshment. So that in our own ways, according to the path that you've laid out for each of us, we can offer the goodness of Jesus. We can offer the gifts and provision of the church. We can offer the particular gifts and generosity and hospitality that you call each of us to and provide each of us with. Lord, there must be someone in each of our lives or who will come across any and all of our paths who could sure use a moment of stepping out of the woods, stepping out of the wilderness and finding a friend, finding some joy, maybe food, maybe comfort, feelings of safety, the feeling of a friend. Help us with this in the coming weeks. We ask in the good and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.